Yes, it is Monday. It's April 22, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Buzz is coming up shortly. We'll wrap the two matches and the rest of the news over the weekend. But the two matches yesterday, both blowouts really. The Dogs beating the Knights 36-12 at a Core Stadium. And, well, Cronulla just handed it to the Cowboys. 42-6 there at Shark Park yesterday. Stewie Sharks 5-1. Have they been underestimated,
Top of
Stewie?
Top of the table, the mighty Sharks. Listening to Loz talk this morning, and sort of they've done this for the last couple of years. Do they have the big name? Do they have it? Can they take on Penrith? Can they take on the Broncos? That's, I don't know, maybe they can. This year, maybe it's different. I think it's interesting, you look forward 12 months and you put Adam Fanua-Blake into that team. They become a different team again.
Well, I would say if they had Fanua-Blake this year, I'd be, well, quite obviously, I'd be rating them a higher chance of winning
than
without him. Oh, mate, he's an elite front rower. He's one of the best, if not the best, in the game. And I'd be saying, you know what, I think they're a massive hope. But I still look at the Sharks and go, consistent, very well-drilled footy team, but have they got those couple of players that can do what I need them to do in a semi-final, grand final, you know?
Yeah.
And you're right. With Penrith, you just know that they've got plenty. They can get it done. Brisbane, Rhys Walsh, Ezra Mann, they can produce something special. Possibility Melbourne, because I think that they're working on a style of play that will take them to another level. Whereas in the past, I've always had that concern about Melbourne. They're just a very, very good side. There's not much difference between their best and worst. But when they get to the final, they can't get to where they need to get to. That's what the Sharks remind me of at the moment. But if you finish top four, anything can happen.
Gee, I'm noticing on the text line this morning, obviously Parramatta are going to be under pressure this week, but Knights fans are getting very restless as well, and we'll speak to Buzz about that shortly. Just the AFL yesterday, the Swans, great performance, 53-point victory over the Gold Coast Suns. The margin was just 11 points at halftime, so they really kicked away there at the SCG in the second half in Brodie Grundy's 200th. Just in the supercars yesterday, great return to New Zealand. Triple Eight's Will Brown and Brock Feeney went 1-2 yesterday in Taupo. Anton Di Pasquale filled the podium. And Brown now leads Feeney by 71 points in the driver's standings. And in Formula One, more grief for Daniel Ricciardo. This time at the Chinese Grand Prix, the Aussie was inside the top 10 midway through the race. Then Lance Stroll ran into the back of him and ended his race. Guess who won? Max Verstappen. Surprise, surprise. Lando Norris was second. Sergio Perez third. Oscar Piastri, the Aussie, finished eighth there yesterday. And the boxing yesterday, Ryan Garcia beating Devin Haney via a majority decision in Brooklyn. One judge had it 112-112, so a draw. The other two judges, 114, 110, 115, 109 to Garcia, who knocked Haney down three times during the fight. He doesn't win the title, though, because he weighed in, well, nearly a kilo and a half overweight. Unbelievable. He's some personality, Ryan Garcia, but that was very entertaining yesterday.
So if he doesn't fight for the belt, does the belt stay with
Haney?
Yeah.
The right. WBC super lightweight, I think it is. I think that's
so
right.
There'll be a rematch then for the belt. Is
that
how it works?
I haven't got to the politics going forward and how this all works out, but
in the world
it'll depend
boxing
on the dollars, I'm sure, Loz.
Yeah.
In the world
so
of
he loses nothing out of this fight then?
Haney? No, he loses his undefeated record.
Yeah, reputation.
He's now 31-1.
Yeah.
It's in the world of boxing, who knows what could happen. They could fight next week.
G'day, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. More drama on the weekend, eh? A call yesterday.
Oh, I saw that, Buzz. At the start, and we're talking about the incident between Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie in the tunnel. When I first saw it, I thought they must have been great mates. I saw Jack with a big smile on his face bouncing around. But then I saw the reaction from Reid, and it looked to be a bit more than just mates.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. The match review committee will deal with this morning because I can't recall seeing that in a tunnel. Certainly not televised. These days, I'm surprised Jack was so stupid to do it there in the tunnel knowing that Fox Sports and Channel 9 always cover that area of an NRL venue, and it was just dumb, wasn't it? And I've watched so many replays of it. I don't think he was overly serious in what he was doing. The way he was shaping up, and he almost looked like he had a smile on his face. But Reid Marnie, as you said, was very disappointed after the game, and it'll be an interesting one. Look, I think they'll hit him with a contrary conduct charge.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it might be a bit more than the fine.
Oh, really?
I think the NRL have got to show that when you are sin-binned in an NRL game, you leave the field immediately, you go straight to the down the tunnel and to your and into your dressing room. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at a couple of weeks here. Please, look, I don't think I'm overreacting. Situations like that can get out of hand. And I guess we haven't seen anything like that. Remember the Battle of Brookvale, Glenn Stewart and Adam Blair? That was on the field after they'd both been sin-binned. And after that, referees sort of separated the sin-binnings and kept one back for 30 seconds, etc. They were both suspended, but they actually exchanged punches, didn't they? Look, I think he'll be facing a couple of weeks, and he's a complete dope for doing it. And, you know, tunnels are public viewing now.
Yeah, they certainly are.
You reckon I'm overreacting, boys?
I'm a bit unsure, Buzz. I'd love to get Reid's take on it. As in,
yeah, look,
you know, I don't know whether they were mates or anything like that. I'm unsure because I know you can't do it, and I would think there'd be a fairly hefty fine. But, I mean, if they're mates and it was a bit of a mucking around. But the only thing that stops me from thinking that was the reaction straight away, Reid. But I'm unsure. I'd hate to see 2 weeks for that.
Yeah.
I think you'll get a fine. I think that's what will happen. What is it, contrary conduct or bringing the game into disrepute or one of those type charges he'll get hit with?
Yeah, well, I'd go a little bit heavier myself. I just think, although a fine... you know, it's really not fair. The club and the fans are penalised, isn't it? They're in all sorts, Newcastle, and, you know, to lose an impact forward off your bench, maybe a fine, a heavy fine, will send a message to them that this sort of behaviour won't be tolerated, you know, after a sin bin.
Yeah, you just mentioned the Knights, sorry. So they got smashed in the New South Wales Cup again yesterday. Caelan Pong is injured. I'm seeing on our text line, their fans are starting to get restless as well.
Look, I don't want to get on here and talk about coaches being under pressure every Monday morning, but the bottom line is they stormed home. They won, 10 straight last year. Ponga won the Dally M. And so there were big expectations around Newcastle this year. And I think I had a look at the premiership table before coming on. And while we're only into round 7, without Ponga, who's the only real X factor in that side, as you said, the New South Wales Cup got beaten by 50, so Adam O'Brien hasn't got a lot to play with, does he, to improve the football side. I think they're in all sorts. And as I said, I'm nearly ready to put the red felt pen through them, maybe the Titans as well. And look, I can't see South coming back from where they are. Newcastle have been terribly disappointing. They're a better football side than they're playing at the moment. Mm. Interesting, though, because Adam O'Brien, midway through last year, was Gonski, but then they went in that 10-game streak and he earned a new 3-year contract during the off-season, which I thought he deserved. And I think he's entitled to more. But I was getting phone calls. There were noises yesterday afternoon about him. But look, I keep saying to myself, it is round 7. I know we're going to get on to Brad Arthur in a minute, but they're in massive, massive trouble without Ponga. And I don't think there's any way out of it. And do you agree, Laurie? They're Gonski for the year? Or?
Oh, they lose Caelan. Yeah. I think they lose him for a significant period. I think they are in all sorts because I think on the back of what he was able to do last year led them to those finals appearances. And from what I've seen so far this year, they're not playing anywhere near as well. And if he's out for a significant period, I just can't see them winning enough games to get them in contention. And then they're going to have to win, you know, 10 out of 11 games or something like that to make finals. But it was a remarkable sort of turnaround, though, when you look at it. That corresponding game last year where the Bulldogs got hammered. And they got hammered in reserve.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah. So they've actually improved. I think the Knights have gone backwards. You mentioned Brad Arthur, Buzz, and I see your column is done on Parramatta this week. And again, we have to say we're only 7 weeks in, but the coaches are now under pressure, Adam O'Brien and Brad Arthur. It's now time to face a bit of scrutiny.
Yeah, look, I can understand you can say we're only 7 games into the competition. But the bottom line is you have to look at the enormity of that loss to the Dolphins. And the second half scoreline, I think, was something like 40-6. And that is just not good enough from a Parramatta side. They conceded 8 tries in 25 minutes, which is almost one every 3 minutes in the second half. And that team the Dolphins put onto the park the other night was way below their best side. They were missing a number of key players, and Parramatta went up there as favourites. So the Dolphins were without Farnworth, they were without Kafusi, Tom Flegler and the great Hammer. Yet they just destroyed Parramatta in that 25 minutes. Now, we spoke about the Newcastle Knights, New South Wales Cup team. Well, Parramatta are running last in New South Wales Cup. The Jersey Fleek side haven't won a game. Mm. Now, for a club with a feeder system and that massive junior league, that is unacceptable. You look ahead, they've got Manly, they've got the Broncos, they've got Storm in the next 3 weeks. Now, Sean McElduff, the chairman, where I got disappointed with him and our little exchange in the paper today, all he wants to do is blame Mitchell Moses' interview. I tried to point out to him that they conceded, I think, of 41 points against Canberra, 44 against the Dolphins, and Mitchell Moses wouldn't have changed that defence and the fact on both occasions, they did not turn up. You look at Penrith without Cleary, the Broncos without Reynolds, Storm when they were without Munster. They battled on and kept winning. And it says a lot about the entire structure and the pathway system at Parramatta that they don't have another option to bring into that football side where Mitchell Moses is crook. They are in all sorts, and Brad Arthur has been there a long, long period of time. They missed the finals last year. They've won something like 6 of their last 15 games. And he said they gave up. That's the heaviest quote you can get. Why aren't they turning up each week? Why are they getting beaten average of 35 points a game? Even the Cowboys win. Okay, Cowboys won close. You saw what sort of form the Cowboys were in at Chart Park yesterday. It's no big thing to beat the Cowboys in current form. Am I overreacting? Am I talking sense?
Oh, no, I think Brad's under pressure. But I get back to what you said earlier about it's only 7 games in and you're not reading. You're saying, you know, off the back of last year. I agree with you off the back of last year, but I still think it's so early because they're 3 from 7.
Laurie, there were 8 tries in 25 minutes against a Dolphins side without 4 game-breaking players.
Mm.
That was pathetic up in Darwin. Pathetic.
Mm. Yeah, no, I get that. But, like, next week, if teams lose by big margins, there's some teams there that have got, I think, more quality than what Parramatta have, that are sitting on the same amount of
points. Roosters.
Well, the Roosters are one. Like, I expected them to be going a lot better. Now, we've gone through South, so we don't want to sort of continually throw them in the mix. They've had the bye, and we'll see how they come back. But, you know, the Roosters, like the Warriors. Like, the Warriors are only 1 point in front of the Eels.
Yeah, but the point I keep trying to make, they're not getting beaten 41 points down in the national capital. They're not getting bashed by Dolphins. You can look at these results and you look at a premiership table, but when you dive, deep dive. And look, Brad said they gave up, that they're a part-time football side. Now, it's the coach's job to bring them on game day ready to play footy. That's the coach's job. You do all your skills, all your tactics during the week, but they have to turn up on game day and they're not. They're not playing for him. That was so obvious.
It's certainly a watch this space, I think. And, well, who knows what will trend. They need to win this weekend to take some pressure off him.
But what I said, they're particularly damning the New South Wales Cup and Flag side from a big feeder club with a big pathway.
Yeah, that's not great. That's
looking at those stats, that doesn't look at any better. Hey, something a bit more positive. Reece Walsh.
Oh.
He's been out for a couple of weeks, but Jesus, when he comes back on the field, it's almost must-watch, isn't it, no matter who's playing?
I was going to say, you almost look at the draw every week. Look when the Broncos are playing. Put it on the top of the fridge or in your diary and you just got to watch him play football. He is such an exciting player. And again, he was magnificent the other night, even on a slippery, heavy track. He was great. And again, I don't want to be negative towards James Tedesco, but I thought he struggled. In fairness, he was one game back from concussion the other night when the Roosters played Thursday night. And I wrote this morning that Mal Meninga left Reece Walsh and Ponga out of his Australian side last year and were beaten 30-0 by the Kiwis. I think the test matches at the end of the year, if form stays the same, that Reece Walsh will have to be chosen as the Australian fullback. And sadly, it'll end Teddy's reign and a magnificent career in the green and gold jersey as captain as well. And but Reece Walsh, what a great rugby league player.
Yeah, he's
I haven't
very
seen
good.
Anyone as exciting as him and a marketing machine, what he is. He's a character. And there's one other thing I really liked about his... the other night, poor old Chevy Stewart had a really 18 years of age, had a really unhappy game for the Raiders, but afterwards Reece Walsh made a beeline for him and said, look, rugby league's a roller coaster, mate, you know, chin up, we know you're a better player than a couple of the errors you made. And yeah, it was nice, I thought.
No, that is a nice gesture from Reece. And just on young Chevy, I don't think anyone has played the game without having a game like that.
I wrote this morning, I think it'll be good for his career, you know. And he didn't go hiding, did he?
No, he's going to be a wonderful player.
Yep, 100%.
A wonderful player. 18 years of age. Everyone goes through that at some stage in their career. He's obviously had to go through it in his second game, but he's the future of the Raiders and someone
absolutely
that will be there long term. Now, I mentioned the Roosters buzz before. They're not travelling as well as what most people expected them to this year. But I think the Dragons have exceeded a lot of people's expectations this season. And they meet on Anzac Day in what is traditionally a wonderful contest and a sold-out stadium. And this one on Thursday will be possibly even better than the ones we've seen in the past.
Dragons and Bulldogs are both the best story in rugby league. Two Sydney clubs, great Sydney clubs that have struggled for many, many years. And to see the Dragons put away, what was the score, 30-12 against the Warriors. They've got, Anzac Day is always a great game. St George can be on the bottom. Roosters can be on the top. And it's still a good game of footy there at Allianz. 40-odd thousand people there. Shane Flanagan has rebuilt this side almost overnight. They've won four games of footy. They're playing a really, really nice brand of rugby league, brilliantly led by Ben Hunt. And Bulldog wrote this morning, Kyle Flanagan, unwanted at the Bulldogs, unwanted at the Roosters. Only his dad saved his career, I think he's nearly the most improved player in the competition. And Zach Lomax, I've never seen a player who wanted out so happy. Did you see after that try, that magnificent try he scored? And he's leading the Dally M Awards, Zach Lomax. And it is going to be an Anzac Day blockbuster. I cannot wait to be there. It's my favourite occasion of the year. Bigger than Origin, in my view. Bigger than Magic. I just love the atmosphere out there. When two great footy sides turn up and we salute the Diggers, and yeah, it'll be a great day at Allianz on Thursday.
It'll be a huge day. One of the guys playing in that game is Joseph Soali. Talk of him playing for the Blues.
I don't like it, mate.
Yeah, I can see that because he's leaving. I get that, but others will have different opinions.
Others will have different opinions, but it's not as if we don't have other options. We've got Josh Adokar, Brian To'o, we've got the guy I was just talking about, Zach Lomax. So I reckon Joseph is on level pegging, or is probably not playing quite as well as those three this year. I don't like rewarding people who've chosen to nick off and play another sport. I'd like to see Madge give someone the Blues jumper who's committed to the Blues jumper for a long period of time. Laurie, would you pick him if you were coaching?
Well, interesting question, Buzz. If I thought he was the best man for the job, I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Given that it's not the coach's responsibility anymore to worry about the pathways in the future, they're worried about there and now. I think what Madge's contract is over, and I know he's working a lot more, but they changed the contract about it's a 3-month gig.
Yeah,
but hold on. When you went to Super League all those years ago, you were stopped from playing for Australia
because because
the ARL then. So if you're going, David Gallop said it years ago, you can't play for Coke and Pepsi at the same, or work for Coke and Pepsi at the same time. He's going to a rival sport.
Right.
Why are we giving the opportunity to earn $30,000 a game? Why are we putting him on our showpiece stage when there are other options who are, that's just my view.
Oh, yeah. Well, people would have the same opinion about Joey Manu then, if he was to go and play rugby union and then come back and play rugby league next year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but we don't. That's hypothetical. He's going to union as soon as the comp's over, so the New Zealand Rugby League don't have a decision to make there.
Yeah, but would you like to see players finish up and go and play union for half a season and then come back into the NRL?
Oh, it's a very, very good question, Laurie. Yes. But look, that's certainly the Roosters' plan, as I wrote in my What's the Buzz on Sunday. That's what they're planning to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's just, look, Joey Manu loves the Sydney Roosters, but he's seen an opportunity here to go and play in Japan, beef up his bank balance, and come back and play NRL.
Got it.
The Roosters are taking a risk there, guys, because he's not going to get an off-season, he's not going to get a rest, can his body handle NRL, Japanese, etc. So it's a risk.
Thank you, Bard's got to leave it there, mate.
See you, boys. Cheers now. Bye.
Atlee Mosley and Phil Moss still to come this morning, and heroes and villains, of course. Got a $100 gift card to give away for the best contribution, so give us a call, 1353 53, on the text line 0419 767 272. Just some results overnight, and in the FA Cup, it was a classic. It was some game actually at Wembley in the semi-final between the second tier championship side Coventry City and Manchester United. And well, United led 3-0 with 20 minutes left. Coventry City got it back to 3-3. Went to extra time and then penalties. United won 4-2 on penalties, so have straight through to the final. It'll be an all Manchester final, City and United, for the FA Cup this season. In the Premier League overnight, Everton a much-needed win against Nottingham Forest, 2-0 at Goodison Park. Aston Villa beat Bournemouth 3-1, Crystal Palace 5-2 over West Ham, and Liverpool went to Craven Cottage and beat Fulham 3-1. Just seeing in El Clasico as well, Real Madrid and Barcelona, they have played out a classic. Jude Bellingham with a stoppage time winner for Madrid. So Real Madrid 3-2 over Barcelona in El Clasico in La Liga. In the A-League, closer to home, and Western United ensured that Perth Glory got the wooden spoon. Western United winning 4-3 over in the West yesterday. Now, the big result over the weekend, and it was a bad one for Western Sydney, they were beaten 2-1 by Melbourne City. So that means that on the ladder, with one match remaining, Melbourne City 36 points, Western Sydney 34 points. They're sixth and seventh, respectively. Of course, the top six makes the finals. Not sure what they're doing as far as this catch-up game between Central Coast and Adelaide United yet. Because
are they back home?
I believe so, Loz.
Right.
We'll get a full report from Mossy soon on the flight back from Kyrgyzstan, but the Phoenix and
never been there. Sure.
And didn't have the luck, the luxury of having.
They don't
a trip.
Play cricket in
no,
Kyrgyzstan.
No. Not. They might do. Actually, to be fair, they could well do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that trip. Was injured.
Well, they got to figure out the Premier's plate. Because the real battle between the Phoenix and the Mariners there, so not sure how they're going to when they're going to play that catch-up game. Maybe Mossy will have some more information on that. By the way, on the fight, we were talking about the Garcia-Haney fight. We had quite a few texts earlier saying now that Haney vacates that belt. So with his defeat,
he doesn't but lose it. He vacates it.
Yeah. So Garcia doesn't win it,
right?
Because
right.
he weighed in. A kilo.
So you see him scull a beer.
At the weigh-in.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, he's one of a kind. Arrogant.
It's just become
there was a
rumour
rare, going like. Around that he actually had $2 million on himself to win.
Yeah, not sure. He's now dating an Australian adult film star as well.
Oh, really?
It was pointed out to me over the course of the weekend.
Do you know her name?
Oh, I do, but...
Just be careful Googling that, Loz.
No, I always
this is, it is a family show, Loz.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. That's all right.
Where was I as well? Oh, the A-League Women's yesterday.
Look, I'm only asking, do we know a name?
Yeah. Keep going there, Joe.
Tee you off here. Sydney FC 1-0 over Central Coast and Melbourne City 3-0 over Newcastle in semi-final first legs in the A-League Women's there yesterday as well. But heroes and villains on a Monday. Give us a call on the text line as well. Heaps of noms here. Tom from Tamworth, hero Lonro. What a horse on and off the track. Freak. Villain, the inconsistency, a lack of common sense when it comes to the bunker. Every Monday we say the same thing. Get rid of it, says Tom from Tamworth. Yeah, we are blowing up every week, aren't we? Oh, here's a wrap for you, Stewie. Lads, shout out to Stewie and his team at Softball New South Wales. Just spent the last 4 days at Little League State Titles. And his team at Blacktown did an awesome job. See you in June for Nationals. Let's go Colts. Cheers, Crossy, sending that one through.
Yeah, I bumped into him out there at Blacktown during the week. There was a lot of youngsters out there playing. Good to see the kiddies out there. Jeez, they're so passionate softball and baseball fans. That was baseball, so we allowed baseball onto the fields, onto the diamonds. And man, it was excellent. It was great. And they'll be back for the Nationals. Because the winner of the Nationals gets to go to America and play in the Little League World Championships over there. So it's a huge event, mate. But they come from everywhere. It's huge.
Yeah. Steve, morning. How are you?
Yeah, a bit nippy down here this morning. Good morning, lads. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. Who have you got for us?
Well, I'll give you the villain first. And that's going to be the WWE. Because they sacked Daniel Vito over the weekend.
Right.
Okay. Oh, so what's no longer doing it.
What's his name in the WWE?
Oh, Zion Quinn.
Right.
Yeah, he was in their second tier promotion, but he was going all right. He was getting a lot of TV time. But So
what happens now? He drops back at is there another division he goes back to, or is he?
No, he'll go to the other rival one, right? The AEW, whatever it is.
Yeah, he'll either go to AEW or TNA. He'll go to another promotion.
Right. I don't know. No,
there's the WWE, yeah. And then there's a few different promotions that run wrestling tournaments. And the AEW, it's growing, isn't it, from what I can see on the TV? I'm no expert in it, but...
There's a lot of young people going up, and then every time WWE sacks one, they always end up there. So it's, it's not a bad promotion. It's well worth it.
Who's your hero, mate?
Well, I'm going to give it to Brad Arthur, believe it or not. Because I thought his post-match truth bomb was actually calling out the truth. Like, I heard what Buzz said earlier, it's a coach's job to get them ready. But they're leading 10-6 at half time. They're in the right headspace. They just turned it up in the second half. That's not Arthur's fault. And by no means am I a supporter of Brad Arthur. But they just went out and they showed no heart, and Brad Arthur called out. He called out the truth, and I think that he should get flowers for that.
I'll tell you what we'll know this weekend, Steve, is the reaction from the Parramatta team, because when you've been called out like that by your coach, he wants a response, and if he doesn't get that response, then more questions will be asked about Parramatta and why have they not backed up their performance after a disappointing display the previous week. So it's a really big game. And if you think if anyone's going to bring the best out in them, it will be their arch rivals, Manly. And I remember that game early in the season where Manly had them on toast early. They moved the ball as well as anyone, and they looked like they were going to run away with that game. But the Eels dug in, and they got away with it. Now, they're going to have to come with that same sort of attitude and put in their best display of the season if they're to stop that Manly team, because they're playing good footy at the moment, Manly, albeit they weren't at their best on the weekend against the Gold Coast team. But I think both them and the Warriors were coming off that extended match the previous weekend.
I think it's now 7 of their last 8 away from home they've lost Paris. So there's a big discrepancy between their home and away fall.
Yeah. I can't see them beating Manly, but I think, and you want to see, a tougher display and a better display than what they did on the weekend and how they folded in that second half.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call. Just another result I forgot to mention, the Oli Roos. It's disaster for them. They're not going to Paris.
Yeah, gone.
They've had a draw against Qatar in the under-23 Asian Cup overnight. So we finished the group stage with 2 draws and 1 loss. So third in the group. So Qatar 7 points, Indonesia 6, us 2, Jordan 1 point. So that's a horrendous performance there over in the under-23 Asian Cup. And we'll get the fallout with Mossy a little later this morning as well. G'day, Trent. How are you?
G'day, boys. Love the program. Just a hero and villain for
Go
you.
Go for it.
My hero is, or heroes are, the jockeys who rode in those atrocious conditions on Saturday, last over carnival. They did a fantastic job in what must have been horrific conditions to ride in. And my villain, and I couldn't believe that I heard this, that the IOC have allowed 23 Chinese swimmers to swim at the Olympics when they're all far. I mean, I can understand maybe 2 or 3, but 23? Come on.
Yeah, it's one of the big global stories to come out of the weekend. We discussed it very early this morning, but that was a complete cover-up, which has been exposed heading into the Tokyo Games. So the World Anti-Doping Authority found 23 Chinese swimmers had tested positive to a banned substance, and them, along with the Chinese Anti-Doping Authority, cleared them that they'd been contaminated. And they were cleared all very quickly and all obviously kept under wraps heading towards the Tokyo Games 3 years ago. So that, yeah, as you can imagine, other athletes, other competitors around the world raising their eyebrows big time, as you could completely understand. And the fallout's continuing with that. But, yeah, it has...
It almost beggars belief.
Well, it does, but look at the country involved. I mean, how surprised are you?
Well,
you know what I can believe? I can believe if one person or possibly two, a contamination has happened. Like, you know, you can always argue that something happened with my drug test that wasn't right as an individual or as a, you know, with, with another person. You can always make that sound believable.
Yep.
But when there's a group of 23, I don't know. I'm thinking more.
I'd love to see what the argument was. Oh well, they all ate. They all ate a.
This is that's what they're saying. A buffet.
They went to a buffet.
Buffet.
Yeah, you know, the one that comes out. They all they had a smoothie out of a blender. What 23 of them?
Mm. Yeah, but Shayna Jack missed Tokyo while she was trying to clear her name.
Yeah, I know.
She couldn't swim in Tokyo. These 23 Chinese swimmers, contaminated. Sweet. Go for it.
Yeah,
we just won't tell anyone. Amazing. Like,
but why?
What a rort.
I want to know why.
Well, what's the difference? Why do they go through a different process to other athletes who test positive?
But that's what I mean. Like, you can have your own governing body And then you have your own drug testing. But when it's under WADA, they make the decision, don't they?
Yeah, but to compete in the Olympics, you have to be part of the WADA code, don't you?
So WADA can override.
Yeah, otherwise you'll have these enhanced games coming up everywhere. Yeah. But they've obviously turned around and said, oh, well, we don't want to cause any grief by the sounds of it. Let's just push on.
Yeah, it's got a sizable stench about it, doesn't it? Thank you, Trent, for the call, though. You're in the mix for the $100 gift card. And, yeah, good rap to the jockeys. You could tell James McDonald after he won, I think it was on broadsiding, he said something to the tune of, yeah, it's not much fun out there today. And conditions deteriorated, didn't they, through the day. I meant to mention as well, well done to all the connections of McKenna winning the Golden Easter Egg at Wente Park on Saturday night as well. Coming up, Sky Racing's Ali Mosley shortly. So, of course, Magic Time winning the All Age there on Saturday, broadsiding the Champagne over past the Quokka, and, you know, all done in Sydney under... Well, it felt like it was raining everywhere except over in the West. I think the meeting was called off over in New Zealand as well. Every time I looked up at the TV, it was raining. Didn't matter where it was. It was raining in Queensland as well there on Saturday. How'd you go on the punt in the end, by the way, on Saturday?
Went okay on Saturday, actually.
Yeah, good.
Mate, the great DS.
What do I get?
The great DS.
Just you in?
Well...
This group chat we're on. Unbelievable.
He's sort of very hit and miss, DS. He did tip me one over there in Ellerslie, but it was scratched. there was another one he tipped me somewhere around the country, and it ran like a bastard.
Let's
just put this into perspective, right? He gives you 15 tips, most of them are duds, and one comes off, and when it
wins, within 20 seconds, he goes, "Were you on it? Did you get on it?" Like, as in, but there's radio silence when the other 14 have just rolled on and done nothing.
There's tips in Alice Springs. What about this comment from you?
What was it?
Great ride, although he got held up when she was getting into stride and had to go again. Rightio. Thanks, Ron Duffy. I mean, seriously.
I can't. Where was that? Where was that?
I don't know.
What race am I talking about?
There was so many. At one stage, I couldn't keep up with this gazillion.
No, I didn't have too many beers over the weekend. I reckon I only had about four sitting at home.
Right, okay.
And then you've given a toughen up Marlowe. Don't be a quitter after he said, that stumps for me, boys. They were coming thick and fast.
They were. But we had a bit of fun.
Good.
We have a bit of fun on Saturday.
Have to.
But you know what happens? Like, this is what happens when you're bored. And my wife gave me a revving on the weekend because I just sat at home and watched the races.
But you enjoyed it, didn't
footy.
You?
I do, but she doesn't.
Yeah, right.
So I've got my laptop. I've got television.
Yeah.
And I'm working the phone feverishly.
Yeah,
like texting. Like bing, bing. And she goes, you put that phone down. How many chat groups are you actually on? It does a head in.
Yeah.
So then I just put it on silent.
Yeah,
and then
that's
sort of
the key.
Doing the old, you know, you hold it down by the side. You think she can't see.
Well, more importantly, right, what does she want you to do?
Well, that's a good point, because I said to her, would you rather me go down to the pub? She said, yes. But no one was down there, so I said, I did the old, no, I want to stay here with you. I want to spend some time. I've been away in Singapore.
What, should I take you down and go for a coffee or lunch?
It was raining, so it was a good day to just hang around home, you know.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Do some, a bit of gardening or fix some stuff around
couldn't
there.
Couldn't get outside.
Yeah.
Ali Mosley, good morning.
Good chat. Enjoyed that one.
We've all been there.
What do you like if Luke's working the phone at home, Al? Do you give him a hard time and say, put that bloody thing down, or you're all right?
No, he's on the phone more than he's not on the phone. It's glued to his ear, so we're just side by side, do our own thing.
Yeah.
I just go and play with my horse, no one bugs me.
Understand. See, that's good.
That is good understanding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was tough conditions, wasn't it? It just deteriorated through the day, and we got through the group ones, and Magic Time got the job done for Graham Begg. Ripping horse, Magic Time. So winning that's a second group one, isn't it?
And Graham Begg's just had a really good run this prep of his horses. He's been travelling them a lot up to Sydney, and he's not afraid to place them and move them around. And he's really targeted this Sydney Carnival, and it's been rewarding for him. He's a master trainer, and the writing was probably on the wall there to a certain extent. But it's been much documented, but it was a very interesting day with the way the track was throwing up results for horses that were normally even wet trackers. And I think a few of the jockeys even said that in their post-race comments, you know, these horses are wet tracker and it didn't handle that. So very interesting, but Magic Time was a fantastic winner for Graham Begg and a good result for a mare who's been very consistent all through her prep and a multiple stakes winner now.
Now, Broadsiding came over the top in the Champagne Stakes.
Which is a bit frustrating because I was a linebacker. I had a lot of faith in this horse. I think John O'Shea does, Tommy Berry does, but everything he's doing... Well, I'll talk about Broadsiding first because I'm talking from my pocket there about linebacker, but I know he's a horse that... they've obviously just kept there, and even James Cummings post-race said the same thing. He said my team were the ones who sort of found him there in the mix, because there was sort of a bit of conjecture around whether Godolphin had a really strong hand of two-year-olds, and they come out and they win the, I guess, one of the most prestigious two-year-old races in the Champagne Stakes at the end of it in good fashion. So it was a great win. I think James was pretty pleased with it, but I really think linebacker is still a horse to follow. He's done it tough, and his whole prep has been a little bit sort of checkered. He came out at Warwick Farm and didn't get a run because he just got his nose through. I think he reared up and got his nose through the barriers, and then he came out at Hawkesbury and he had to contend with a heavy eight, so we thought that he would handle the track. He went back to the trials. He's still colty, he's still raw. Physically, I think he'll be an even better three-year-old. And to go from winning the way that he's worked through the grades up to running second in the Champagne behind a very handy one is fantastic. So we've got to black book him, and we'll follow him very closely into his three-year-old season.
Geez, Marzu just lapped up the conditions, Al.
Didn't he? And I think it was relief. I was standing next to Joe Pride when he crossed the line, and I don't know if I've ever seen Joe Pride cheer so much. It was, I guess, a sense of relief, really, that, you know, that what he'd done with his horses has worked. And as soon as the rain came, we knew that it was going to play right into Marzu's favour. And credit to Jamie Carr too, because again, I think he's probably just the jockey of the carnival, the way that she's been riding. She rode two winners eventually with the Kintyre, or a protest upheld there. So Jamie did a great job. Joe's done a great job with him, and all systems go for the rest of his team. I imagine heading up to Queensland now. Sinewan, did you have something on him? He was fourth. Apparently he hated the track and he still went fourth.
Yeah, I didn't have something big anyway.
He'll get me one day, that horse.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if he keeps going the way he's going.
True. That's what I said to Joe as well. He laughed.
What'd you make of that protest? You mentioned it as well. Kintyre winning over Gold Bullion there.
I think it was much documented that if there'd been any more than what it eventually was, but the margin in it, even a half head, I think it probably would have been dismissed. But it was interesting. We were watching the whole thing. I think probably the right result in Kintyre. You know, one for the guys who have been right thereabouts. I know Gary's been really, really loyal with this horse. He's always had a big opinion of him. He's been right thereabouts. I think there's been one occasion where he's missed a placing this whole prep, and that was in the Tullock where he ran fourth. So great result for Connections of Kintyre, Gary Portelli, and probably a bit disappointing, of course, when that protest is upheld. But I think probably the right decision was made there.
Did you get to see the Quokka on the weekend?
I did, yes. I watched that. I raced home after the races got called off, and I watched the Quokka, and that was probably the exact scenes that they were hoping for with Bjorn and the result that came up. But it was exciting. It's a great race. I'd like to get over there one year, but it just doesn't really coincide very well with our carnival at the moment. I think next year they said it might be a week later, so it wouldn't clash with All Age, which would be great, because then we could get over there and see what it's all about.
It's very hard to fit it all in. Now, who are your stars of the Autumn Carnival?
Okay, well, the Autumn Carnival, I've got a couple to follow out of the weekend, and then yep. I think we even start... You know what? Actually, maybe Friday we need to start talking about Queensland and who we're going to follow up there, because the markets won't be too far away. I don't know if they're this week or next week, but they're pretty close, so we'll talk about them as well. But I think a few to follow out of the weekend. Rapidash, obviously you had a distinct advantage covering... disadvantage covering ground on Saturday, so I think Rapidash, to get so close, held plenty of merit. She raced back and wide. And luckless, but I think if she can find another one of our highways, she will be right in that. I think here he is. Sinewan performed well above market expectations. So he covered more ground than any other, didn't like the track, looked likely to drop out at the 300-metre mark, yet the horse picked himself up with minimal urging, ran the equal second-best last furlong of the race. And I think he also pulled up one out of five lanes. So huge credit to that horse. Interesting one, Bandersnatch. I think he showed he's still got plenty to offer. He drew wide and had to do it the hard way, three wide again in a very open edition of the All Age Stakes, but he stuck to his task gamely. He hasn't won for over a year, but he's run some great races in the meantime. So Saturday's effort suggests he'll be right there and a force to be reckoned with.
Thank you, Ali. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. You too.